Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Lorraine Gordon. I'm your online coach of yourhappinessway.com. And this show is about helping you make your dreams come true. Together with my guests, I support you and teach you how your thoughts create your life. But more important than that, I want you to become aware. Hopefully this recording or this series is helping you to become more aware of the thoughts that you're thinking that come from your beliefs. And this is very creative in terms of what's showing up in your life, particularly those thoughts and beliefs you aren't even aware of. But those so often are the ones that cause you those knee-jerk reactions. When I talk about knee-jerk reactions, think for a moment. How many times in your life have you gotten very angry, or maybe very sad, or maybe very hurt? And when you look back, you think maybe there wasn't quite enough provocation to feel that way. Or maybe you made a declaration to yourself that you never again would act that way when such and such occurred. And then, voila, it occurred again, and you're once again out of control, either acting angry or hurt or violated or something that you swore to yourself you weren't going to do again. Well, that's a knee-jerk reaction. And those are caused by hidden pain that we all carry around, and it's something that is referred to as the pain body. As many of you know, I am a coach. I'm a life coach private. I do seminars, etc., but I also work with people privately, and I help you to release that pain body that often we aren't even aware of, but it can guide our lives. It's so important to be clean and clear in that way. I can't stress this enough. I have a CD on my website, yourhappinessway.com. Very inexpensive. I think it's under $20, and it is a pain body release technique. The CD is about an hour and 10 minutes, and there's three different techniques, or at least two, on there that will help you to release that trigger inside of you that gets provoked from time to time. And maybe because of it, you're hurting relationships in your life, relationships that are important to you, or it's causing your life to go in a direction that you really didn't want it to go in. So it'll help you to gain control over your automatic reflexes. So, so important. I am going to be moving this show to Friday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific time. I have a show going right now already, so I will be filtering this show out probably by mid-January, and you can find me on Your Happiness Way Radio right here on Blog Talk, so you have to look for me a little differently. Go there. Go to Your Happiness Way Radio on Blog Talk and hit follow, and if you do that, you'll be made aware of all of my shows. And so that would be a good thing to do. I love Twitter. So for any of you out there that are Twitter fans, follow me at either at Your Happiness Way, that's with one S, or at Lorraine Gordon, LorraineGordon. And all the links to all of those things are right here on the site, so need not stress about it. Let's talk about limitations. You know, we can only bring into our life that which we can conceive of. So if you cannot see yourself as a person of opulence or as being lovable because you were taught that in some way through your family, one of my main desires is to help open you up as you listen to this show to realize that you're certainly capable of doing anything that the rest of us can do and capable of having. You're just as lovable, you're just as deserving. And so I think that's very important that you understand that. So keep tuning in. Keep listening. And, you know, it's so important who you associate with. Because if you're associating with people that are very negative or people that are very limited in terms of what they believe is possible for them, that kind of rubs off on you. You know, they've done studies that have shown that our income is normally an average of the five people we hang around with the most. So if you're looking to make a lot of money and you're hanging around with people that aren't making any money, choose your associations differently, because that can be very, very creative. It actually limits you in terms of what you believe or what you attract. Because when it comes to energy and the law of attraction, it isn't only what you think. It's where you have your emotion. It's that emotional feeling charge that is creative, more so than the affirmation you may specifically say to yourself five times a day. It's where your true emotion lies. That's the catalyst to fire up the law of attraction. We're going to be talking about this a lot more on Fridays. Keep tuning in. Go to my Facebook page. It's Facebook, Your Happiness Way. Click like. I post on there regularly things, inspirational material and notices of my radio show, etc. And ways to inspire you so that you can begin to create your life on purpose. That's the idea, instead of creating your life by default. So you'll want to start by asking yourself, you want to ask yourself right now, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? What am I thinking right now? And do that throughout the day. Just start by beginning to ask yourself, what are you thinking? Because as a life coach, I know that clients can feel angry for a week with almost not even realizing the feeling they're having is anger, because they're not aware of their thoughts. And after a two-minute conversation, they realize, oh, my goodness, I'm angry, and that's why I was, you know, miserable or unhappy or depressed. It's because I'm angry about blah, blah, whatever it was. I'm not asking you to tell a story. I'm simply asking you to notice what your thoughts are. Notice where you're putting your attention. Because once again, that unconscious attention, if it is emotional, that's enough charge to bring whatever it is into your life. If you're charged with emotion and anger, you will bring angry people and situations fraught with tension into your life. If you're a calm and peaceful person, chances are you're not bringing that much into your life in that way. If you are, you're going to diffuse it with your own peaceful energy, or you'll move away from it. I have a very special guest today. She's a good friend of mine. And today's show is about that hidden cycle of domestic abuse. It is such a widespread problem. I have a deep desire to help women that are going through this. I certainly want to help men as well, but my deepest love and what I feel for it the most at this point in my life is to help the women. Being a woman, that would be what I would relate to. And Carmen has a website called The New Happy Me. Her Facebook is The New Happy Me as well. You can get all of her links right here on the site. And she has a wonderful new project called Blog to Heal. And Blog to Heal is having incredible results. And I think it's probably another way to reveal your thoughts. I'm going to ask her about that. But it sounds to me like it helps to uncover your thoughts as well. And then she also works with women who are coming out of abusive relationships. And I'm going to let her tell you her story. She has a lot to offer, so listen up. And if you have any friends that are going through this that you think this would be helpful for, by all means, extend them the link. This is going to be available on the archives, same link. So let me bring Carmen on. Hi, Carmen.
Hello. Hi, Lorraine.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure, Carmen. It really is. I know you've done a few of my shows in the past, and this one, though, is a little bit different because we're going to talk about something that's very personal to you. So, but before we get started on that, tell me about Blog to Heal, because it kind of goes along with what I was talking about in terms of creating by accident. Does Blog to Heal help people to reveal what's going on that maybe they're not aware of in their mind?
Absolutely. I kind of got into Blog to Heal accidentally myself. My journey started with journaling. And what I noticed is that when I started blogging, I realized that journaling had its limitations. I was keeping myself in that comfort zone, in that comfort box of my notebook, where I could keep myself in denial. I didn't have to ask support of anybody. I was keeping to myself in my pages. So I was maybe venting emotions. I was maybe analyzing some situations, but I was really not finding any solutions. I wasn't getting feedback. It was really keeping me in that comfort zone. I needed to get out of that box in order to get the help that I needed, in order to speak of my story and to have individuals speak to me about their own experiences. It's in the sharing that we learn more about our own experience, and we get inspired by other people's experiences as well. And it's in those interactions that we heal better. And that's how Blog to Heal came about. I fell into blogging inadvertently, and then I realized this is definitely good. This is really a system. Without even being a system back then, it literally saved my life. I was going through a very difficult times, and I had suicidal thoughts quite a few times over that period. And it was through the blogging, because I was committed to blogging. I was committed to learning the lessons and writing about the lessons that I was learning. And here I was reaching out to a growing audience. The audience members, the readers, were relying on my stories. They were relying on my blog posts. So it just kept me going.
Wow.
And kept me going. And it became really powerful. So I kind of put it together in a project. I offered it to a few people who I knew had blogging, and we started a gratitude challenge. So it's part of the Blog to Heal project. Through gratitude, we are healing. And Lorraine, the results are magnificent. I'm in tears every time I read a blog post about some new breakthrough or how amazing someone is feeling for once in their life. It's really amazing.
Wow.
Surpassed
so
my
you started Blog to Heal is your own thing. It wasn't something joined. It was something you started.
I started Project Blog to Heal using a blogging platform that exists through mm-hmm. Empower Network. It just happens to be uh-huh. a blogging platform that is incredibly easy to use, so it removes all of the technical challenges that one may have through any other blogging platform. And so I love the platform itself. However, Project Blog to Heal, other than using the platform, I've included a lot of other resources, hangouts, live calls, and guidance through Facebook group interactions, where I actually offer coaching through the healing process that we go through with the challenges, with Project Blog to Heal, and with the interactions between team members.
That's wonderful. It sounds kind of like a one-stop shop to me. I like that. I want to get into the conversation about abuse and coming from, an abusive family, as you said that you did, or abuse in your family. When did you become aware of the fact that you were going through domestic abuse?
Well, I wasn't aware of what was going on until I started feeling incredibly depressed, and so depressed that I couldn't not seek help from the outside. I couldn't smile anymore. My muscles, I was frowning. Physically, I could not smile anymore. It had gotten that bad. And
sorry about the puppy in the background.
No problem. I thought I was going through postpartum depression at that point. My son was probably 7-8 months old at that time. And so I called the local community center for help. I just called them and I said, I'm going through this. I want to know if there's any way that they can help me. And they asked a whole bunch of questions. I was on the phone for about an hour. They interviewed me. A committee reviewed the answers that I gave during that interview, and the social worker called me back and said, Miss, you're going through conjugal violence. Lorraine,
oh
at
my
the
goodness.
Beginning, I thought, and you know what? It was a shock, and my first reaction was, no, it can't be. I called you for depression. You have mistaken. You're calling the wrong person. This is not conjugal violence that I'm going through. It's really depression. I am not going to come in. I was in complete denial.
Wow.
Yeah.
What kind of questions did they ask you that they realized you were in depression? In going through conjugal violence, did you answer things in regards to your relationships, or was it just in regards to how you were feeling?
I think both. If I remember correctly, they were vague enough that I couldn't tell that they were really trying to figure out what was going on with my relationship per se. Because for an hour, I think she just made me talk. I was crying a lot. I was kind of talking about how I felt. But if I remember correctly, she did ask me about how my husband related to what I was going through, if he was supportive or not, and all kinds of questions. But it was very mixed, very vague, and I really didn't know
kind
that
of,
that's
it. Kind of tricks you into it.
Yeah.
Tricks you into telling them what the problem is. That sounds really smart. You should get a hold of their questionnaire.
Really
good one.
You know what? Though they knew, they understand the dynamics of conjugal violence, where they are aware of the fact that, and we're talking here the wife being the one abused, but obviously there are men who are abused as well. But
yes, of course.
To keep it simple, we're talking about the wife being abused. So they know that the wife is generally not aware of what's going on because she is so immersed in this. It's become her familiar zone, and she thinks it's the norm, and she's just numbed by the situation. And so,
well, let me ask you a question. Why would you be numbed by, in what way were you, how could you not notice if you were being mistreated by your husband? Please explain that to me.
Well, the way it happened for me, and I've seen this often through other either clients or people that I've interacted with, it doesn't happen suddenly. It happens in a very subtle way. At the very beginning, when you are introduced to this person, the person is a gentleman. The person is just an amazing person to be with. You're falling in love with this person. You're probably attracting this person based on your own energy. Like you said at the very beginning, your thoughts are creating your life. So if your internal script is always very critical of yourself, you are going to attract someone who is going to be critical of you or controlling of you as well. But you don't realize that at the beginning. At the beginning, it all looks very, very nice. And I was in love with my husband. I actually was coming out of my parents' house, where my parents were extremely controlling in very different ways. Both my mom and my dad had very different ways of parenting, but very controlling in their own unique ways. So I kind of ran away from the house, from my childhood home, and I failed to notice the red flags. In hindsight, there were red flags, but I failed to see them. I got into this relationship that looked like it was amazing, and slowly but surely, things started going downhill. But it went so subtle, I really didn't even realize it. And the second thing that happened that was very tricky
It was like you were being groomed. It was like a grooming kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
And the other thing that's very tricky is that on the outside, My husband was very well loved. He was a community volunteer, such an amazing person, so nice to everyone. So here I was.
Wow.
He's not the same person anymore inside. So I was conflicted. Was I the crazy one who thought that this man could do this to me while everyone else thought he was an angel?
Wow.
So
give me an example of what was he doing that you, I mean, obviously he wasn't smacking you, because if he was smacked, you wouldn't be wondering if you were being abused. So what kind of thing was it?
Well, he would basically kind of control who I saw. Like he was, my mother didn't like him, so he basically made it clear. He shot her down a lot, kind of made me believe that she was the bad person all the time and I shouldn't be seeing her because she's going to abuse me more, she's going to try to control me more or so forth. So he kind of controlled that situation instead of helping me deal with the situation with my mother. That was one of the things. Then, as it went further, I remember my mom actually told me, I hadn't even realized it. Years later, she said, "You remember when you got that diploma?" I was in college still when I got married, and I got a diploma, a certificate actually, a degree that was other than my college degree, and it was kind of a smaller degree. And I was just visiting my parents with him, and I just happened to mention to my mother, our relationship was still strained at that time, I just happened to mention to my mother, "Oh, by the way, I received my degree in the mail, and apparently I got honors for it. I got a very good mark for it." And he apparently said, and I don't even remember it because those were things that I filtered out. I didn't want to hear, I didn't want to see those red flags back then, but apparently my mother noticed it. He apparently said something along the lines of, "Oh, but that was an easy one. It was really nothing to, not a major degree to receive. It was so easy to receive. It didn't require that much work anyway." So he downplayed the effort that I had put in to take that course and get that degree. So he downplayed.
So was he in general demean? In other words, he would demean your accomplishments or make little of them.
Exactly.
And
he would.
And you just didn't notice.
I didn't notice. No. No, I just, it was part of my day to day. I went along with it actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was very subtle, and, you know, I kind of agreed with him because in my head, from my youth, I had been criticized all along. My mother was the type of person that, and I love my mother dearly. I'm very close to her now. But back then, and we've talked about this with her, she would really push me very, very hard. Nothing I did was good enough because she always pushed me to do better. So in my head, I wasn't ever doing anything major. I wasn't doing anything worthy of honors. And so when he mentioned that my degree was a bobo degree, that it really didn't require much effort, I agreed with him because that's what my mind script told me anyway.
Right. And so, and you've mentioned that to this day, celebrating your own accomplishments is not something you would just naturally do. You have to remember and think about it to do that. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, and that has been part of my healing process, and it's still ongoing. That's not something that I'm comfortable with yet to date. After 10 years of healing and more healing in the past few years, that's still something that I struggle with, absolutely.
I know. Well, I'm glad that you're aware of it. Awareness is step number one. You know, Carmen, you talk about the cycles of abuse, and you use the plural. Explain to me what you mean by that, please.
Yeah, that's an important one because that's something that I noticed after my divorce, way after my divorce. When I got a divorce, I said, finally, it's over. The cycle is over. I broke the cycle. I'm going to become a different model for my daughter. I broke the cycle of abuse. She's going to learn a new way of being. She won't be learning what she would have learned had I stayed within that relationship. And I was thinking singular. There's one cycle of abuse. But a few years later, I noticed that my daughter was starting to show symptoms of that abuse. And so I realized there are two cycles. There's one cycle that I stopped. I stopped the one that was perpetuating within the relationship. As long as I didn't stop it, as long as I wasn't aware of it, because don't forget, I wasn't even aware of it. I was even in denial of it until it came to a point, it became so bad that a social worker finally told me, I'm not going to answer your call anymore. You have to come in so that we explain to you what's going on, because you really need to understand what's going on. And that's when she explained to me what that cycle is. That's the first cycle. That's what I was going through constantly, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. So that cycle basically...
Oh, yeah, explain that cycle, please. Yeah,
so that cycle basically, it starts, and it is a cycle, so there's no real start anywhere, but we'll start at the general interactions between husband and wife, almost like a dance. And I'm not going to say that the wife instigates anything, but in her behavior, because of her thoughts being so negative to start with, because of her abusive, of her abuse to herself, that's the thoughts that she has. That's what she creates in her own life. So she acts a certain way and almost opens the door for the husband to do something to be abusive. The abuser is an abuser.
So in a way,
anyway.
She invites the abuse. But it's so subconscious. It's... Yeah. So give me an example.
Very.
What does that look like so that the listeners can, you know, check themselves to see if that's something they're doing?
Well, I actually noticed that in my own mother. I hadn't noticed that in the past, but when I got out of it, I noticed my mother was doing that with my father.
Okay.
She knows that my father gets angry at certain things that she does. And she kind of sets the tone for it. She kind of does it on purpose almost to get him to get angry at her. And I just stop. It's like unbelievable. I just stop when she tells me about it. I say, Mom, do you understand what you did? You opened the door for him to get angry at you. And it's not your fault. It's not like you're instigating it. It's really, there's no blame here. But it's like if you feel comfortable in knowing that he's giving you that attention, and you're opening the door for it.
So it's strictly a subconscious thing.
Very. She's unaware of it, completely unaware of it. And sometimes it's really, I mean, in this case, it's really extreme because my mother's 78 years old, so she's lived a whole lifetime of this. It's gotten worse and worse. So now she's almost at the point where she's setting the tone completely, where I used to maybe be a little, I would kind of show that I was insecure, that I wasn't comfortable in a situation that I was in, so he would take advantage of it. Because an abuser, you have to understand that an abuser doesn't feel good in himself. So in order to feel better about himself, instead of working on himself, he will shoot the other person down. So as soon as I felt insecure about something, he would come in and make me feel even more insecure about myself. Or he would play with emotions. He would make me even more angry. Let's say I was upset because of something that happened at work. Instead of helping me deal with the situation, he would fuel the situation. He would get me really angry to the point where I was ready to go and explode at my boss. But it was completely uncalled for. It was because he was fueling the fire. And then when something really went wrong, I would come back and say, well, you know, I had this fight with my boss or something. He would say, well, why the hell did you do that for? So it was my fault.
Oh, my goodness.
So he would play with me.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that would
there was
be
that
difficult death. To – it would be difficult to recognize that because
very
it's quite overt.
Exactly.
You probably
and
were just left feeling very confused, weren't you?
Absolutely. And that's why I wasn't aware of what was going on because I thought it was all me. I thought I wasn't taking advice properly or I wasn't able to manage my emotions properly. I was or too sensitive or getting too angry too fast. He called me a, how do you call that, the pressure cooker? Putz, that's what he used to call me, because it was like if I held it all in, pressure cooker, I would just explode. But it wasn't because that's who I am. It was that's because the situation made me look like I was a pressure cooker. And it was really weird.
Wow.
It was really, really weird.
And it must have been like living in a bad dream. No wonder you felt depressed. You know, you mentioned cycles, but you still haven't explained to me, what was the cycle like with your spouse? How does that cycle work?
Well, so now we talked about the dance. There's this interaction that's going. It may not seem abusive at the beginning. It's just an interaction. It's a dance between the two. And then the tension escalates. When the tension escalates to a point where it cannot stay there anymore, it just explodes. So that's when there's an anger tantrum. My husband used to punch holes in the wall, or he took an umbrella at one point and just damaged walls. He wouldn't hit me, but he would get really, really angry and damage something else.
Violent.
So it would explode that way. Violent, yes. And it would scare me. It was a scare tactic just to bring me back down. I would get angry with him. The tension would escalate. I was strong in my opinion, maybe, where the fight was going on, but he needed to push me back down, and so he would scare me with violence, and that was the explosion. And then comes the apology. He realizes that he may have done something wrong. He went out of control. He got too angry, so forth. So that's the apology. And after the apology is the honeymoon. Everything is nicer. And the woman at that point grabs that as something to give her hope, that there is hope for this relationship. It is going to get better.
Uh-huh.
He did apologize. He did tell me that he's never going to do that again. We're never going to go through that explosion again. So we have that hope. But what happens is that we go back to the dance. And from the dance, the tension escalates. And from tension escalating, it explodes. And then you have an apology again. And then you have the honeymoon again. And all over
again.
My goodness. And
a roller coaster ride.
Absolutely.
And I didn't know that I was in it. And your children, of course, in the household witnessed this, correct?
Absolutely. And they were very young. When my husband ended up hitting me, and that's why the social worker had prepared me. She said, this cycle is going to get worse. So you go from emotional abuse to verbal abuse to physical abuse. And so it will escalate. She had prepared me for it, and there was a police officer that was following my case as well. He would call me once a week to make sure that I was ready. As soon as he touched me, I would have to call 911, because before then they would not have any grounds to arrest him. He almost got me into an accident. There were a lot of things that happened, but he never touched me until that day. So when he did, he punched me on my shoulder, and he threatened to kill me. So I called 911, and he did get arrested. At that point, my daughter was 6, and my son was almost 2. And so they were very young, but they had seen what was already going on. They knew what was
going
on.
Did they see their father get arrested?
Yes. Yes,
that had to be so traumatic for everybody.
I think so. I was in shock. I don't remember much of it.
Sure.
I remember the social worker had told me that I would have that sigh of relief. Apparently, there's this sigh of relief, a very intense one, that happens right after it's over. I actually experienced it. And I was numb. I had no idea what had just happened. And all I knew, though, is that even if I couldn't do it for myself, here I was now responsible of 2 young children. I had to find myself that I could take care of them. That's all I knew.
You're so fortunate that you had all that support. I don't know that – I know you're in Canada. I don't know that we've got that kind of support a system set up here for abused women. Do you have any idea, Carmen? Because that would be a good thing that we could help people with. Is there anything that you
know
of?
I know that there is support. I see on Facebook there are sites that deal with abuse. If you go on Facebook and you type in abuse, the word abuse brings up groups. There are groups that just have general discussions, but they have subgroups that really do support, and I believe they are American. And even I know that they do offer phone numbers for support and so forth in different areas. So there is support. Now, if it's as
you know what,
one,
I think after the show, I'm going to do a little research so that we're going to get it up here on the site, some phone numbers for those people that are listening that need to get help, some phone numbers for various areas. I think that
absolutely
would be a good idea. The thing that you had that I was really referring to, although I thank you for that information, is the police that were standing by. I don't think we have that situation here. It seems to me that the police don't get involved, although I could find out about this too,
well,
until there is a violent actual physical act.
Well, I did put in a report because he did almost get me in an accident. When I put in that report, they told me that they could not arrest him because he had never hit me. However, they had enough proof that there was something going on, and they didn't want
okay
to drop me. Although,
so
I mean,
then, if that is going on with anybody out there, reach out to your local police. Of course, I think for many women out there that might be going through this cycle, they might be scared to death to make that phone call and frightened that their husband is going to find out. So I'm going to put some phone numbers up here on the site once again. It'll be listed right here on the blog talk where you can call to get specific advice in regard to that type of thing so that you'll know that you can get yourself out of harm's way. And then after you're out of harm's way, that's when you come to a coach. But first things first. First, get yourself safe.
And you know what, Lorraine? What I did learn is that a lot of people will say, well, he never hit me. But the problem is that it may go there. You have to protect yourself. And the thing that the social worker did teach me as well, she said that I needed to gain strength. I needed to gain confidence to be able to do what I needed to do. And that took a long time. It took me about 7 months to pick myself up, to understand what was going on, to be aware of, you know, in my day-to-day, when certain things happened, I had to say, oh, what he's doing right now, that's not normal. I had to recognize the signs. And when I recognized the signs, I was able to you know, gain that confidence to say, no, you're not going to do this to me, or I'm not going to accept this behavior. But the stronger I got, the more he pushed. And that's
oh, yeah,
how it
right
is.
So as you get healthy, they get angry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Get angrier because
angry
they recognize that they're losing control. Right.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, we're still on this, so I want to hear about the second cycle. So we've talked about the cycle that you go through with him, and there's the honeymoon after, and then it starts again. What about the cycle in terms of generational cycle?
Yeah, well, that's the second cycle. So even when you get out of your cycle, the second cycle is still there. And not only for your own children, but also for yourself. Because you probably took it from your own childhood experiences, from what your parents had in their family. I know from my parents, I mean, we're talking about the women being a certain way, being used to the abuse and accepting it completely subconsciously. But in reality, there's something that's going on the men's side as well. I know from my father, I've never known my grandfather, but apparently he was an alcoholic and he was very abusive. So guess what? That's where my dad learned that from. And so
right,
that's what he brought into the relationship with my mother. And I don't know what happened to my mother exactly, because I don't know of any abuse in her family, but there must have been something where she accepted this. She settled for what my father had to offer. And so together, they, to this day, my father is 93 years old, and to this day, he's abusive. They have this dance. They're interdependent. They have this dance going constantly, every single day, my mother calls me with complaints. But her thoughts.
How does that make you feel
reality.
when you hear that? Does that, and of course I know that you're concerned about your children as well, but when you see that go on with your mother, and how do you handle that? How does it make you feel?
Well, I realize that she's been going through this for a while, not too long ago. Because first I had to realize that I was going through it, and then I opened my eyes to where this came from, and I realized, oh, shoot, this is what she's been going through. Because what happened in my family when I was young, my mother was the stronger person, and that's probably why there was more abuse also, because my father needed more control, but my mother was the stronger personality. And she was extremely controlling. She was, oh my goodness, I don't want to use any bad words here. I had a lot of issues with her. I really had a lot of issues with her. I hated her for what she did to me. What I didn't realize was that she was going through that. I didn't realize it. When I was young, I didn't see it. All I saw was this witch in front of me all the time. She wouldn't let me live. But she was just externalizing the pain that she was going through on a day-to-day basis. When I went through it, when I got out of it, and when I saw her relationship with my dad as an outsider, then I realized that's what she's going through. And then the more I spoke with her, the more we connected after my divorce, the more we both realized that this was generational. And she has been trying to help me as much as she can while trying to help herself. She has grown a lot stronger over the last 10 years. I'm really very proud of her. She's still going through the dance. It's very painful to see. But she does see how I have been able to get past it, and she's very proud of what I'm doing. And she is seeing, I'm actually modeling for her. She is seeing what I'm doing to gain strength myself, and she's using that as an example. And what she's also seeing is that my daughter is going through the same issues now.
Yeah,
and
I was just going to ask you about that, the children. Mm-hmm.
Children, my daughter has seen this, and what she saw in the first 6 years of her life were enough to model her in what she is today. And although she has grown a lot too in the last 2 years, she went through a lot herself. She went through a lot.
Have you felt any concern that she may be attracting that type of personality in terms of boyfriends now? Have you felt
Absolutely.
Concerned or seen any of those signs?
I have seen the signs, and I'm very concerned about that. In some of the things that she has spoken with me about in terms of mind script, things that she feels about herself, about her future, I'm very concerned, very, very concerned. And I have been working very closely with her. And that's pretty much what brought me to do this work, really, because I hadn't realized how important it was for me to work on this for myself, for my daughter, and how important this work could be to thousands of women out there who need to heal themselves so that their daughters can go through the healing process as well. Because that cycle is continuing. That cycle
Right.
is continuing, because even though you've gotten the divorce, even though you're a lot stronger now, your daughter picked up on it already. And
right. Oh,
the
sure.
thoughts
sure.
create, her thoughts are creating her life. Her thoughts
right.
aren't healthy. They're self-abusive. And so, you know, when we have in our daughters in this generation, we have so much cutting. We have anorexia. We have so many problems related to self-esteem. Where does that come from? This is a silent killer. A lot of people aren't talking about this, but so many women. If I'm not mistaken, I heard 1 in 3. 1 in 3 is way too much. Look at what it
1 in 3 are
daughter.
Suffering from anorexia or cutting, or 1 in 3 is suffering from abuse?
From abuse, some form of abuse. One in three women
huge.
Are suffering from one or another, any form of abuse. And I can't
say
that
we're talking, there could be emotion. See, I'm only thinking of two forms of abuse, emotional abuse or physical abuse. What other forms of does abuse take?
Well, in emotional abuse, there's a wide range. I just wrote an article recently, actually, that a few women actually commented on, and they said, "Oh my goodness, I didn't realize that there were so many of those signs already in my relationship," because usually when you're in an abusive relationship, you'll see many of the signs. However, you have different forms of these signs. I know someone who spoke to me about financial abuse. Holding money against you, you know, giving the wife only a certain amount and being so controlling that the wife feels guilty about spending anything. I've actually seen an older woman, a friend of my mother's, a long, long time ago, I remember that, she would be at home in rags because she had no money. Her husband held that. He held control of money, and she was being abused that way. You have obviously verbal abuse. You have, in the symptoms that I have, I mean, we're thinking emotional in general, but there are so many things that a partner can do, criticizing you for your looks, your weight, your intelligence. You feel unworthy of love. You know, that's really emotional abuse, belittling you, using threats to get what he wants. That's a form of control. Disrespecting you, your space, your time, and your money. That's another thing also. I had that in my relationship. He stole money from our account.
Really?
For 2 weeks in a row, $900 each week disappeared. And
where
I
was
said,
he putting it? Did you ever find out?
No, I never found out. What he told me was that he needed lunch money. $900 a week
lunch.
For lunch money. You're going to make me believe that. Uh-huh. And the other thing that I had, and it's part of the symptoms as well.
You were lucky your husband wasn't as swift as he could have been.
Yeah.
Most women would figure that out, Carmen.
But that's the thing also. How stupid do you think I am to believe something like that?
In other words, he was insulting when he didn't lie well enough.
Absolutely. But he went with it.
Isn't that funny?
He went with the story. He would not back out of that story. And there were lies like that. And the other thing is adultery. Adultery also a form of cheating where, they manipulate that. First of all, they cheat. They're lying and so forth. When they're caught, though, that's when it gets really sticky, is that sometimes, most of the time, in these types of abusive relationships, you'll end up getting blamed for it. You weren't
and you go
me enough.
And you're so browbeaten at that point, you believe it, or you just will do anything to keep the peace. Is that the kind of thing?
Or you second guess yourself. You know, I got that treatment at one point of I'm too cold. I'm frigid. I was told I was frigid.
Oh. It's kind of hard to warm up to a man that's being mean to you.
Exactly. But that's not what he's seeing. He's thinking that I'm frigid. But, Lorraine, I really thought I was. I was believing it.
Oh, my goodness.
And here he was saying that he needed to get it elsewhere type of thing. When you're really stuck in that in that abuse and you're not recognizing it for what it is.
You believe it.
Oh. Yeah, you start feeling.
You know, this has been incredible. We're going to have to. It's the time has just gone by so quickly, and I think this was. We have so much more we could obviously delve into, but I do want to do a short meditation before the hour is up. So, would you mind if I put you on hold and then I'll bring you back for closing statements?
Absolutely. Yes.
Thanks so much, Carmen. I have just so enjoyed every moment of this, and I think that hopefully that you've touched a lot of lives. I'm going to put you on hold, and for those of you listening, this is meditation time. And if you're familiar with my show, and even if you're not, do not attempt to meditate if you're driving. Hopefully, if you're in a nice, secure place where you can, turn down the lights, take the phone off the hook, take off your shoes, loosen your belt, and completely relax. And should you hear the sound of a barking dog, that actually can work in your favor. In other words, you want to get into a place where you can notice something and let it come in and then watch it go out. Just let it come in and then watch it go out. Thoughts come and thoughts go. That's part of meditation and the ability to watch them and allow them without engaging them is something that we all have to learn in order to be a regular meditator. So if something like that should occur, use it as part of your practice. We're going to start with some nice deep breaths, breathing in through your nose deeply, your belly expanding, breathing in, and breathing out, your belly contracting. Just giving attention to your breath and the sound of my voice, breathing in deeply, belly expanding, and breathing out, belly contracting. Very good. Breathing in a nice deep breath all the way down to the bottom of your lungs. And breathing out. And breathing in once again. And breathing out. Very good. And now just continue observing your breath and listen to the sound of my voice. And once again, should a thought pop into your mind, it's perfectly normal. Just watch it and allow it to leave. No need to engage it. No need to push it away. Just watch it and once again bring your attention back to your breath and back to the sound of my voice. And now I want you to intend to tune in to the inner energy field of your body. Simply scan your body, starting at your feet. Just look for a feeling inside of your feet. Sometimes this takes practice. Just allow it to be exactly as it is. You're just looking to notice a feeling within your feet. Sometimes wiggling your toes a little bit will help you get in touch with that area. You're looking for a feeling that feels almost like a vibration, like music in a way, like a hum of sorts that's within your body, and that's your unique vibration. And just notice now your ankles. Just intend to notice, nice and calm. Whatever is, allow whatever is, it's perfectly all right. Bring your attention up into your calves. It can help sometimes to imagine a liquid golden light moving from the bottom of your toes, through your feet, up into your ankles, and now your calves. Imagine a river of light moving through your body. Feel that river now in your knees and your thighs. Just becoming aware of your thighs and the way they feel pressed upon the chair. And now your hips. See that river of light moving throughout your body. Your diaphragm, your rib cage. Breathing in and breathing out, feeling the energy moving up your back, up your spinal column, all the way up to the base of your neck. And now just intend to bring that energy all the way up the back of your head, right up and out the crown of your head. Just imagine the energy is coming right out the crown of your head, and imagine it like a waterfall of white light. This waterfall of liquid white light is bursting out of the crown of your head, and it showers you with that comfortable, soothing white light. And as it does, trace the energy down your shoulders, down your forearms, out your fingers. You may become aware of an energy that emanates from your body. Simply intend to feel how far out your energy field goes. Just check yourself. Notice an inch away. Can you feel the energy of your body? An inch away, an inch further out than your physical form. Because it's true, it does. Go out a little further. See if you can sense your energy. And now project your energy. Make it as large as the room. Just intend to project your energy so that you're filling the room with your unique energy. And while you're in this very comfortable, peaceful place, I want you to completely honor yourself. Honor yourself. Look back for a moment at the good that you are. Look back for a moment at what kind of a good mother you are, or a good student, or a good human being, kind and caring and compassionate. And honor yourself for your good. Honor yourself for sitting here, attempting or doing this meditation. Honor yourself because you deserve to be honored and you deserve to be respected. Breathing in and breathing out. And just imagine that you are congratulating you. See yourself in front of you, reaching out both hands, telling you what a good and worthwhile human being you are. Imagine you telling you what a good and worthwhile human being you are. And with that, make an intention to become aware of your inner voice, to listen to and respect the words of wisdom that are coming to you. Simply make an intention to respect yourself and take care of yourself in all ways as you do the same for others. Very good. Now bringing yourself back into this room and place. Bringing yourself back into this place, drop your chin down upon your chest. Rub your hands together. Begin to rouse yourself. Place your hands gently over your face and eyes. And intend to bring yourself back into the room, back into this place. We only have a couple more minutes. Time got away from me a little bit there. I'm going to bring Carmen back on. As I do, I want to say that if you enjoy my meditations, please go to, there's a link right here, or go to yourhappinessway.com, and you can download a free 5-minute meditation that helps bring you into peaceful clarity. And in order to hear the words of your higher self, peaceful clarity is the ticket. Because if the mind is real busy, it's very difficult to hear those words that we all get. Thank you, Carmen. Thank you for waiting. Do you have anything to add?
That meditation was so nice. I was so pumped before, and you just calmed my energy. It was really nice.
Good. Yeah, I feel that way, too. I do it for myself. Do you think you can help find some numbers or something that we can put up here on the website for those that need it?
We'll try to find some. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there are a lot of local numbers as well, but we'll try to find some and put them up there. And I'll share that Facebook group page as well. That's actually a very good resource to have as well.
Thank you so much, Carmen. Go ahead, quickly.
One thing that I wanted to say, it's all in gaining confidence, you know, in empowering women to be who they are meant to be. It really starts there. Just give yourself that, know that you have that strength inside of you. Give yourself that opportunity to be who you are meant to be. And slowly.
Thanks, Carmen. Thank you all for listening. Look for me on Fridays tomorrow night, 5 o'clock Pacific time. Go to Carmen. Come to me. We're both life coaches, and we are here to help you. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Carmen. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.